Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about some comic books that came out today.
Today.
On this very day, on this Wednesday, this new comic book day.
Yeah, now, happy hump day.
Happy hump day. Hey, happy hump day to you. How are you spending your hump day, Pete?
I'm going to go home and hump your wife. You know what I mean?
Whoa, Jesus. Pete, right out of the gate. Oh, my God.
What the is look this? On your face was... Oh, man, that was funny.
All I'm saying is I hope you guys love each other, and I hope you spend a long life together, and
no,
I hope you have a really nice
I'm
time.
Sorry. I'm sorry for doing that bit. I apologize.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But it is a happy hump day. I'm going to hump your wife.
Yeah.
Do it. There we go. This started off on a very weird note, but we do talk about comic books that came out today on this show. We're going to talk about three books today. Rock Candy Mountain number 5 from Image Comics, Batman Lost number 1 of 1 from DC Comics, and also Coyotes number 1 from Image Comics. So let's get into it. Let's talk about Rock Candy Mountain number 5. Actually, I want to check and make sure, because I think... Is this called Big Rock Candy Mountain, or is it called Rock Candy Mountain? Who even knows? I'm going to look at the cover. It's opening up very slowly here on my... Candy Mountain by Kyle Starks and Chris Schweizer. This has been one of my favorite books for the past couple of months. We were talking about it the last time we did The Stack.
I think we did the first issue, right? Where it was like the hobo on the train.
Did we talk about the first issue on the show? Oh, okay. There you go. So the idea of the book is it's very... hobo mythology book with a lot of fights on trains and bum fights and things like that. But it's very whimsical, very sweet. The art style is
really... I don't know
really,
if you could call this one sweet.
Well, I'm going to get to that in a second. But it's also ridiculously over-the-top violent. Kyle Starks has, I believe, a background in animation, and that plays through a lot here in this book. He's also written a couple of other things that you should probably check out. He's done some... of the Boom Studios licensed property books, and I'm completely blanking on the name of the graphic novel he did, but it was very heavily influenced by 80s action films, and it's a ridiculous riff on those, so go search that out, whatever it's named. This issue, though, is a perfect jumping on point in a way, because it goes back and it shows us what our main hobo's origin story is, and it's real sad. What do you think about this book, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, it's intense. It's very intense. But it's... I like the way it started. You know what I mean? You get this family, and the guy gets a letter that says he's drafted, you know, and he kind of takes on this mindset that I'll do whatever it takes to get back to my wife and kids. And I think that's beautiful, and it's very adorable, and that's what true love is.
Well, and it turns out what he would do is sell his soul to the Crossroads Devil, which is exactly what you would expect from a hobo fantasy book.
Yep.
And it plays out also, as you'd expect, real poorly for him, but there's a nice, like... There's a nice unexpected twist in the way that it happens. And then by the end, we're caught up to the present, what's been going on with him. We pick up with a bunch of bad characters getting ready to take down our hobo, as well as some new surprising information about his quest to find the big Rock Candy Mountain of the song's fame. It's great. Pete, what would you do to get back to your wife and kids?
Oh, man, I would definitely...
Sorry, let me correct that. What would you do to get back to my wife and kids?
Exactly. Because that's what I'm really fighting for. I would definitely murder a really weird Adolf Hitler sitting there in his underwear. I would definitely go on a killing rampage. I mean, it's...
I feel like you would need a little provocation to go on a killing rampage.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. Like, man, I need some kind of motivation to go on a killing rampage.
This book is definitely, it's great, though. You should definitely pick it up. Like I said, even if you haven't picked up the first couple of issues, you can jump right on board with issue number 5. Yep. So please, go do it.
It's exactly what you think. You know, you look at the art and you're like, oh, this is going to be kind of this heartfelt, but adorable, but also super weird kind of story, and it really delivers. The art sets up a great tone, and it's just a fun read. Every issue has really been solid.
Yeah, it's great. All right, let's turn to DC Comics' Batman Lost number 1, which is by Scott Snyder, James Tynion IV, and Joshua Williamson, with a murderer's row of artists. trading off throughout the issue. You are pointing at me, Pete, and you look like you want to squeeze my face.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing with your hand. Your hand is flexing right now. What's going on?
You've got to talk me off the ledge with this issue. Like, this was driving me so crazy, I had to go to the end and read a little bit before I could go back.
Is that because there were different art styles in it? Which I know is not one of your favorite things.
No, I definitely don't like that. But it's just because it was jumping around so much, I had to know what the thread was. I had to know what was this thing. Because it was driving me insane, I would follow an arc and I would get into it, and then it would just switch completely. And it starts off simple and then gets splintered really fast.
Yeah.
It becomes kind of upsetting to read.
So, for those of you who haven't been keeping up, there's an event running through DC Comics right now called Metal, where Batman...
I think you have to say, Metal! Blah, 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 blah,
blah. Like the Tasmanian Devil.
For those listening at home, he did do the metal horns
with
his fingers.
Yeah, the devil horns, but... Yeah. That's what made me think of Tasmanian Devil. There we go. We put it all together. We figured it out. That's
your
really
mind
exciting.
Is unbelievable.
Welcome to my mind. You're going to have to live there now that you're together with my wife, I guess, Pete. So Batman Lost, number one, is picking up in the middle of this Metal event. Batman, as you can tell from the title, has gotten lost in a place called the Dark Multiverse, which is the flip side of the DC Universe, where there are all of these different universes that have continued. DC Multiverse is made, the Dark Multiverse is made up of stories that are created to die. And the people of the Dark Multiverse, including alternate evil Bruce Waynes, think that they are there to provide fuel to keep the regular multiverse going. And in order to suck the regular universe down into the Dark Multiverse, they have infected Batman and sent him to the Dark Multiverse as a conduit. So this is filling in a lot of holes there in the story.
Yeah, but it is maddening to read. I mean, even when Batman himself is like, wait, this isn't how this story goes.
Right.
When you see that on page like 3 or 4, you're like, oh boy.
Yeah. So this is using a bunch of different art styles and a bunch of different writers to tell stories of Batman in different eras. Messed up versions of Batman.
It's upsetting because you know the real stories and you like Batman and they're fucking with you.
Right. Well, that's what they're doing to Batman, right?
Yeah.
This is all stories about stories. So we know what Batman's origin is, or we think we do. But it turns out, tying into Grant Morrison's run in particular on Batman, that the story of Batman goes back pretty much to the beginning of the time with these two tribes.
Yeah, that was such a great thing. Let's bring that back. Pilgrim Batman. Yay!
I mean,
Caveman Batman. Fuck
Listen,
that.
Hey, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking stories that some people, Pete, didn't like, and then figure out ways of making them work in the modern era. And
why not just walk away from a bad idea?
But I don't think it was necessarily a bad idea. It's a weird idea.
Yeah, that Batman goes back to the beginning of time.
Back to the beginning of time, but here they're filling in
it's almost like Batman created the universe at this point.
That's what they're saying. So
yeah.
Batman got killed, got sent back through time, and got lost the first time. So this is riffing off of that. Again,
cool.
He's lost through time. I see that I'm really selling you on it.
Yeah.
But we learn a little bit of what's going on in terms of this war of the Bat Tribe and the Bird Tribe, which eventually what's going to happen here is Metal is going to turn from Batman to Hawkman. Like, I think pretty clearly
is that
here,
what's going to happen? Batman's just going to turn into Hawkman?
No, I'm saying the event is Hawkman? Going to turn its focus from Batman to Hawkman, because we've got Batman, we've got this focus on Batman. I think in the second half of the story of Metal, things are going to twist a little bit and start to focus on Hawkman, and we're going to see the other side of this war that has been brewing since the beginning of time.
All I got to say is kids are super creepy.
Sure.
And when you get like that kid's sitting on Batman's lap, and then you kind of get like the creepier version of her, I don't think there's anything more scary.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like this a lot. I mean, I know, again, I'm the flip side of you where I like these art jams. I think they're cool to see all these different art styles in different places.
Art is amazing, but it's just frustrating because you want to be able to follow a story, and they keep splintering off and getting crazier and crazier, which is nice. It's heightening the idea, but I just, if you're not down, because you're kind of fighting with Batman, you're like, no, this isn't how it goes. This isn't right.
Yeah,
And just to have it keep spinning out like that is kind of like, stop, no.
Well, that's good then. You're feeling the way that Batman feels in the story, so that means they've done their job properly.
Yeah, by creating a bunch of shitty stories that you have to read.
No, that's not what I meant. There's also this two-page spread of dark Batman emerging from all these crashing, exploding planets, and it's real cool. Now, I want to throw something by you that I don't remember whether we talked about on the show yet or not, but all of the evil Batman that we've encountered so far have been Bruce Wayne, right? You know, you have the Bruce Wayne, Aquaman, Aqua Lady, Wayne, the Batman, the Devastator, which is kind of the Doomsday Bruce Wayne. So you have all these riffs. You even have like a Joker Bruce Wayne. Comics are crazy, by the way. Barbatos, who is the big, bad, evil, who's been pushing this whole thing and started this whole thing, that has to be some sort of riff on Bruce Wayne, too, right?
I would think so. But I got to say, the, like, Green Lantern Batman with the metal eyeball with bat wings on it necklace.
Yeah.
That glows.
Is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I was like, all right. But this is kind of like, reminds me of the Batwoman where they were kind of having fun with the panels. They really, I mean, the art in this is really phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you get Spectre here a little bit.
I think that's supposed to be Barbatos. I'm not totally sure, but we'll see.
Kind of looks like Spectre.
It does look like Spectre. I agree with you.
If it's not supposed to be Spectre, why would you make him look like Spectre is my
question. Because perhaps he's an inspector, like how Batman is a detective, and that's why he's
you.
Batman.
Just say you don't know.
I don't know why my wife is sleeping with you. All right, let's move on to the last comic that we're going to talk about. This is from Image Comics, Coyotes, number one. You like this?
Oh, man, this was amazing.
So this is stories by Sean Lewis, and the art is by Caitlin Yarsky. Tell people about this book. Why did you like this book?
All right, well, who doesn't love a story that starts with a girl standing in a room full of dead bodies? I mean, that is how you start a comic right there. Like, that woman is a very powerful woman, and I want to be on her team and on her side because she knows how to handle business.
I just have a real quick question. Did you read anything beyond the first page?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. All right. Just making sure. Because it sounded like, I love the first page. At about. Ending on a high note. All good. We're good there.
I don't need to read anymore.
I'm fine. I'm full. That was a full, full meal.
Yeah, yeah. No, but then you kind of get, it's kind of like this. Is she just in a mental institution? Like, is this all made up? And I think they do a great job of, like, giving you the story without, you know, pulling back too much and being like, is she crazy? You know, because it was frustrating with the most recent Moon Knight thing where they went back and forth too much, where it was making you crazy. Where this, I think, in the first issue, we kind of got an understanding of what's happening.
This is one of the weirder origin story issues I think I've ever read, just because the way that it's structured and the way that it plays out, it feels like a dream the entire time. Because as you mentioned, we start with this tableau of this young girl and a pile of dead bodies. The cops immediately assume, oh God, she's a traumatized survivor. Of course, reading the comic, we know she's not.
Right.
And she's involved in this some way. I don't think it's spoiling too much to say that it seems to be riffing on skinwalkers and the myths of skinwalkers, specifically where it relates to coyotes, and she's going around and she's tasked with killing them. But there's a lot of things in this book that you don't know whether they're real or not. It starts to crystallize and coalesce by the end, but it's still not totally clear. I'm still not 100% sure if everything that we found out about this character is the actual truth.
No, it should be. I mean, the fact that the detective has that piece of paper kind of solidifies it.
Sure, she hands him a piece of paper that gives us clues, but she could be crazy in handing him a piece of paper.
Her friends show up and kind of prove also that she's
not. Yeah, but are her friends real?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. What if they're not?
That line at the end, though, was so badass.
Where she's like,
Cop's like, hey, I'm a cop. You can't do this. And she was like, yeah, when you start helping us out, get to the bottom of why all these women are dying, then I'll start treating you like a cop and not pissing on your badge. And that was badass.
Yeah. How many badges have you pissed on?
Oh, man, as many as you can. You know, until you can't get away with it anymore.
Oh, geez.
But let me ask you
something. I
don't
know if you guys can hear this at home, but the cops are coming to get us. They literally were outside behind Pete when you said pissing on badges.
Bring it. But let me ask you, if you walked in a room and saw a woman standing in the corner surrounded by dead bodies, what would be the first thing you do?
I would say I am an entertainment reporter, and I really should not be here.
So what you would turn around and run?
I'd call the cops.
Wow.
I'd probably be frozen in panic. Are you actually asking what my reaction is?
Yeah, I would just want to know where your first thought, because I would just clear a little spot, get down on one knee, and ask her to marry me. That would pretty much be
oh, my God. Yeah, how dare you betray my wife that way. Guys, we have a live show that we do every Tuesday night at 8
sure
p.m.
do.
In New York that's totally free at the Pit Loft. You should come on by. We'll chat about comics. Also, this show and other shows that we do cost a little bit of money to do. Patreon.com/comicbookclub will send you some free prizes and other things. Pete, what do you want to plug?
First, I want to thank the people who do support the show. It means a lot to us, so thank you. Also, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have coming up on our show.
Check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live, our website, comicbookclublive.com for the podcasts and more. And remember, stay away from my wife.